Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I hope you're all having a wonderful holiday weekend. Hope you all had a fabulous Thanksgiving meal. I want to play an interview that I did with Rachel Dratch and Anna Gasteyer. Of course, we all know them from SNL. I grew up watching them in so many legendary skits. I remember just laughing hysterically at Rachel Dratch doing Debbie Downer, Anna Gasteyer playing Martha Stewart. Or remember she hosted that talk show on SNL called Pretty Living, where Molly Shannon's character would always be the guest. She'd say, I love it, I love it, I love it. Ugh. I grew up with these women on SNL, so it was such a delight to talk to them. They have a new movie on Comedy Central called A Clusterfunk Christmas, which is a parody of the Hallmark Lifetime made-for-TV movies that we all love to watch this time of year. So Rachel, Anna, and I talk all about those holiday movies we love, and then we get into a bunch of other stuff about their career and all sorts of good stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy the chat. Speaking of holiday movies, I want to recommend that you check out my holiday movie podcast, A Very Merry Iconic Podcast, which you can listen to on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast. I host it with my friend Jenna, and we break down all of these wonderful holiday movies. And by breakdown, I mean oftentimes drag the movies. Oftentimes we drag them. So I hope you guys will check that out. And I also want to remind you that we'll be back later this week with all of our Housewives talk. So we're going to be covering the Real Houses of Orange County. We got a lot of Salt Lake City stuff we got to get into. A lot is going on. So please stay tuned to Everything Iconic and enjoy the rest of your long holiday weekend. And we will talk soon. I love you all so, so much. Please enjoy my chat with Rachel Dratch and Anna Gasteyer. As always, I will put these interviews up on the YouTube channel as soon as I can. They usually appear there within about a week, which is youtube.com/Danny Pellegrino and the number one. And if you're doing your holiday shopping, I have a book that'll be out in March of next year. So it will not be out by Christmas, but I do have a book that'll be out March 8th of next year. One last thing. At everythingiconic.store, we have lots of merch available. So that is stuff that you can order for the holiday season for gifts, for loved ones. We have t-shirts, which are going to be on sale, which are on sale now, actually. So check that out, everythingiconic.store. We have Queen Icon Legend shirts. We just got more of the long sleeves in because everyone's been asking us for those. We have wine glasses, lots of great, great stuff. So everythingiconic.store, if you shop right now, there's a sale. And those make great holiday gifts, and they help support this podcast. So thank you all. Please enjoy my chat with Rachel Dratch and Anna Gasteyer.
Oh, look, there's a little holiday elf.
I'm very festive for you both.
Wait, can I ask you a question? Did we meet you before
at Wine Country?
You have not, but I would love to. In my head, spiritually, we're friends already.
That's okay. Maybe I've just seen your name before.
Let me introduce you guys, and then we'll get to it.
Okay, sorry.
Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I'm here with two queens, icons, and legends. I'm so over the moon, Anna Gasteyer and Rachel Dratch. How are you both doing today?
Good. Good to see us, legends. That meant a lot.
And speaking of queens, I just want to show you, I got festive and I've had this shirt. It's a Cher riding a candy cane.
And amazing.
I've wanted to wear it forever. And I felt like you guys will get it. You'll get it.
You pick the right audience. Yeah. I believe in love. Life after love. Love after life.
My head also, I'm looking at my Zoom. I feel like my head looks so big because I got the Santa hat over the headphones.
Looks good.
You look great.
Everything's looking good.
And you've got a festive nod of a little garland behind you. And it's perfect.
Yeah.
Look, ladies, I love a holiday movie. So I was so thrilled. Clusterfunk Christmas on Comedy Central. I loved watching it. It had all the tropes that I love from like a Hallmark movie. I'm a Hallmark movie junkie.
Good.
I love the Lifetime movies, love the Hallmark. And I've been dying for a parody of those for years. So I was so thrilled that you both gave it to us. You're both so funny in it and amazing. Talk to me about like, how did the concept come up?
Okay, first of all, may I thank you before we begin for introducing us that way, because I think we wrote the movie for you, Danny.
I feel that way.
Clearly. No, I mean, we feel that way. Actually, we were hoping that a trope lover would enjoy it. We were, you know, fans as much as the next guy. We love to watch them. We love to watch them. We like a sentimental feeling, and we had been looking for something to write together, frankly, for a while, and my friend Danielle Von Zernick, who's our other producer, has actually produced several Lifetime and Hallmark Christmas movies herself. So it was a kind of a meeting of the minds of like, how can, no one's done the parody of this yet. This is so ripe for parody. Rachel and I want to take a crack at it. And luckily, she believed in it and so we sold it. So it was a pretty pretty fun collaborative experience. And and like you said, like we sort of wanted to lean into the structure as perfectly as possible to make it an impeccable parody. We didn't want to just kind of make fun of Hallmark. We wanted like uber observations, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, it does make sense. And it is works on so many levels, because also I think I have another podcast where I analyze Christmas movies, and I've covered a lot of the Hallmark movies. And I think for fans of that specific network, they're going to find so many little things that they're like, oh yeah, that's that. And then it also just works if people haven't seen these movies or they're just sort of general holiday movie fans. I think they're going to just laugh and have a good time.
I really hope so. There's so many Easter eggs, if you will. I hate that expression, but that's really what they are. I mean, there's so many, like we deliberately threw a scene into the gazebo for the Hallmark people. There's a lot of inside baseball in terms of how crappily the movies are made and how they're always up in Canada. So there's a lot of sort of references to Canadian,
Canadian
flags and things like that. And, and just, you know, observations sort of about the, you know, gay bestie and observations about race and class in the movies that we tried to just kind of pepper in so that it was part of the larger romantic story.
So funny. Now, we're going to get back to Christmas movies, but one of my favorite things that the two of you have done is on SNL, you guys did this Housewives reunion with Andy. It was like of the SNL ladies.
Yeah.
So fucking funny. And I wanted to know, either of you keep up with Bravo at all? Like, do you guys watch any of that stuff?
I watched for a really long time. I've kind of fallen off. I think when I had a kid, I kind of fell off the Housewives a little bit. But do you watch it still all the time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I watch too much of it. Yeah. There's a lot of crazy stuff. That's why I wanted to get your take, because there's like crazy stuff.
Shoot,
a lot of people.
I'm not in it anymore.
There's a lot of people going to jail. A lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Because Erica Jane, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because I'm going to do Watch What Happens Live, too. And I feel like Andy really likes it if you know the Housewives. So I should just start watching.
Our friend Emily Spivey, who wrote Wine Country, definitely knows a lot, too. She sort of keeps us surprised. But I same thing. Like, I really kind of lost after Teresa went to jail, actually. And that was sort of when I exited. But
I love, though, that I asked you if you know anything about Housewives, and you guys just mentioned Teresa going to jail, and Rachel, you're like, yeah, the Erica Jane lost.
Well,
yeah.
That's all. Like, that's everywhere.
That's exactly. That's just being knowledgeable.
That's just keeping up with current events, that's basically. I mean, I study the infrastructure package and Erica Jane.
Yeah.
And
that's in my Yahoo feed.
I'm a well-read, well-informed citizen of
the
U.S.
Exactly right. She knows about the Paris Accord and, of course, Erica James.
You're like, Erica Jane Clinton. Yeah, yeah. Okay, there's two movies that are in both of your collections that I have to ask you about. They're sort of hidden gems in my mind, and I feel like nobody asks the two of you about it.
Don't you dare ask about Paul Blart.
Rachel Dratch, first I'm going to ask you about Spring Breakdown, which I love Spring Breakdown. I know you co-wrote it. Can you tell me a story or a memory about that experience?
Oh my gosh. It was so fun to make. I mean, my friend Ryan Shiraki, it was his idea, and I sort of was like for this one, it was definitely co-writing from the beginning up. And that one, I was sort of like just getting my feet wet and writing, so I helped with that one, like a lot of dialogue and stuff, because I've never been a good like plot person, but he was the plot person for that movie. It was so fun, and we were hoping it would go to theaters. We don't quite know what happened with that, so it always like, Spring Breakdown, like, but you can still watch it nowadays. Everything streams, so
where does she air?
She airs. I don't know where she is right now, but you can always
The gays have found it on the dark web. Like we have it. We have our copies.
So www.gay.com.
Yeah.
Dark web. Check me out. Yeah.
I did that when I was 14, Anna, and it wasn't a pretty picture on the family computer.
No.
Okay, Anna. What?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say. By the way, be careful when you Google clusterfuck too.
For real?
Speaking of the dark web.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anna, the one I want to ask you about is The Women, another gay classic with Meg Ryan, who's one of my favorite actresses ever. Like, I'm obsessed with Meg Ryan. What do you remember about that experience, especially because it was an all-female cast, like every single, even extra, I believe, right?
It was an all-female cast, and I love the original of that movie so much, and I've watched it a lot. It was frustrating because it was sort of at a moment where things couldn't get financed for women. I mean, it was a while ago now, right? It was like over 10 years.
I think like 2008.
And it took her, yeah, and it took her a really long time to get it financed, and then she finally got it financed, and then it was, you know, everybody just talked about everybody's work on their faces. And so it was a little bit frustrating in that respect. What I remember about it was that I played sort of like the, you know, chippy friend of Eva Mendes, and I do remember being so, like, when you meet a really, truly beautiful person, you cannot stop thinking about how beautiful they are. Like, it's like a little bit Ryan McPartland in our movies like this. He plays like the good looking, he's like a Hallmark star and TV comedy star who plays the sort of other love interest in the movie. But he's so symmetrical. And Cheyenne is like this too, Jackson, where you just stare at their face.
Like,
it's like math, you know, like you're like, I can't concentrate on words because your face is so distractingly symmetrical. Like, everything is just math. And I remember her lip color was the color, like, her skin tone to her lip naturally without lipstick is the color that you, if you were a makeup artist, she was so lovely, but also so beautiful. Like, it was just distracting. It was distracting to my craft.
You know, you mentioned the conversation being all about, like, plastic surgery and stuff. And I remember that era was just such a tough time for the industry, yeah, and particularly women. But it's like, if you look back now, I know a lot of the conversation was about Meg Ryan, and she always has looked beautiful, but it's like, yeah, the culture has changed so drastically now that I think if you rewatch that movie, you're like, she looks stunningly perfect. There doesn't look like anything. Everything looks
That's
great.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I was just reading, I was telling Rachel this article at 4:30 in the morning when I had insomnia about sort of the way that the culture's been sold on Botox and this idea that, like, we've bought into how normal it should be to freeze your face, and especially as a woman to freeze your face, and especially, you know, with the Instagram and kind of commodification of it. So in the New York Times, it was super interesting. And to your point, it's like now it's become so habitual to see a frozen face that we don't even really understand. Like you said, looking back, it probably looks like the most moderate amount of work done ever. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm just going to throw in a little feminist kick here too, which the writer wrote, which I really thought was interesting. She was like, if you think about it, freezing all these things in place is kind of taking away the female mechanism for any emotion at all. Like, which is sort of interesting because as you hit the age where you would have wrinkles, you're also sort of set free to, like, feel whatever the fuck you want and say what you want. And then it's odd that, like, at the same exact moment, we're freezing all of those things on our faces so nobody can tell if we're sad or angry or upset.
And that's why in our movie, mm-hmm, we put on gray wigs and buns.
That's right. Oh,
you guys, I loved it.
Fully embraced.
It was so good.
And that's why we wore Party City gray buns.
Party City wigs.
Were they Party City? Were they, like, really cheap wigs?
They
were cheap.
They may as well have been. They were top shelf, not human hair.
Yeah. You know, I had interviewed Rosie O'Donnell recently, and she was saying she always knew she'd age into sort of the Geraldine Page roles, and she's having such a great time sort of fitting into those roles because it's a fun era and age and everything to explore on screen. I don't know.
No, it's true. I mean, I think for any character actress, we've been sitting around waiting to be 50 our entire lives. I mean, you know, both Rachel and I, and this is a true fun fact. There was a show called The Real Live Brady Bunch in the 90s where they were like productions of full episodes of The Brady Bunch. It was a huge cult popular like all comedy thing. And each of us was in it and each of us played Alice. And we were
Cindy.
Like,
what? Oh.
Well, and didn't, I know Amy Poehler played Rachel McAdams' mom in Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah, Mean Girls, yeah.
And you, Anna, were, Lindsay, it's like the age difference was probably nothing, but it's like crazy.
Yeah. Oh, something.
okay, we got to talk about Christmas movies, though. So, do you
either? Back to Christmas.
Do you guys
get
have
off
a favorite?
Of feminism? Pass.
No, I love it. I could honestly, we could do a full hour on this because I love it. But do you guys have a favorite Christmas movie of all time?
Oh, I religiously watch White Christmas, and I religiously watch The Grinch, and I religiously watch It's a Wonderful Life every single year. More recently, we watch Christmas Story, I would say, with the kids, and
We usually watch Elf.
Oh, that's so cute.
And It's a Wonderful Life. I love it, but I almost, like, I don't want to go on the emotional journey of it. Yeah, so I'm like, I see it there, I'm like, I got this, and then I don't watch
it. I watch it every year. Right. But also, it's, my dad worked for the savings and loan industry, and we owned it as a family because it has the best representation of savings and loans of any film. I don't know if you know, remember the whole scene. I mean, literally, that's why we owned it. Like, talk about the wrong emotional message of the movie.
That's what people remember, though. Anna, you mentioned,
remember when
the
they try to get their money back when the building and loan closes? And he's like, yeah, I can't give it to you. It's in so-and-so's house. That's yeah, my dad was like, this is the best representation. That's
this what is it.
Yeah. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
I love Home Alone. You mentioned The Grinch, though, and I love The Family Stone, too. It's like a newer favorite.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Christmas Vacation to me is like hilariously fun. I love Christmas Vacation.
And Love Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Love Actually. Wait, you mentioned The Grinch, though. You mean the original animated, not the Jim Carrey one, right?
Yes.
Have you seen the original Jim Carrey one?
No, I mean everything
I've
about
seen it.
It.
A little bit.
Okay, Rachel, give it to me. It's unhinged, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think because I'm so attached to the original animated thing. Like, I think if you saw that without seeing the anime, you'd have a whole different... But I'm just, like, so, like, old school about how it... Yeah, it's unhinged, yeah.
I used to wait up. I remember waiting for that. And all the Rankin and Bass, too. Like
Rudolph. Oh, I'm scared of those. No, I'm scared of those. I don't like
them. Really?
I love those. Those. They're, like, they still make me so happy. Heatmeister and all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They gave me nightmares as a kid. I, like, got nightmares from
the
claymation.
Even with
Rural Lines. Oh, I love them so much.
I understand. They're a little bit chucky.
I never liked the nose noise that Rudolph's nose makes.
Oh, that makes... I can see that being like nightmarish.
It's upsetting. Also, it's
she thinks I'm cute.
It's a good impression.
And the gay dentist.
So I got it. I got to slip my Rudolph impression. Because
well, they're going to do the live action.
We've done
they're going to do the live action next
this.
Year. She's
I'm
trying to get
angling in. Angling for that one line.
Yeah, this
she
is
thinks
it.
I'm cute.
Please. Please make it happen. I want to see that.
Whoa.
Back to the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Oh, God, yeah.
I just have to say that there is like a little baby Grinch that is also nightmare inducing.
Yeah.
It's like, and people, I just discovered this last year, people on Etsy make the baby Grinch. You guys have to look it up. I know you guys have a lot of press, I'm sure, doing today, but find some time to look up on Etsy people who make the baby version of the Grinch from the Jim Carrey Grinch, and they sell them for upwards of $500, $600, but they're dolls and they're...
That's not... I don't mean to be this guy, but that's not money well spent. I don't think that's going to appreciate over time. It's just my sense.
We got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more in just a second. I want to thank Acast for all episodes of Everything Iconic. Go to acast.com/everythingiconic. And wherever you listen to the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe or follow so you get all new episodes of Everything Iconic. Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area. And within our budget, the Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. Is there a Christmas movie that you hate? I know I hate to talk about what we hate, but like, is there one that comes on or something? Like I said, I hate the claymation thing. Is there one that for you guys is just like, that's a no?
I don't love, like, just personally, I don't love the ones that fall into like hostile territory surrounding Santa. Like, I like my Christmas pretty heartwarming.
Oh, you mean like a bad Santa guy?
Yeah, like I don't like drunk Santas and things like that. Yeah. It sort of brings me down. You know, mm-hmm. That's just not my genre. But, you know, again, I'm not a straight white male. Right. So there's that. Said with love and deep respect.
And thank God.
Oh, you know what one? I find Little Drummer Boy to be a real snooze.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that one.
It's a snooze. You probably saw
it. I like the song.
God, that's why you don't remember it. Have you guys, you have to also look this up. I'm giving you a list of things to look up. Look up Jessica and Ashley Simpson singing The Little Drummer Boy on the holiday special from 2005-ish.
Oh my God.
It's important. It's important.
Speaking my language.
All right.
It's important. It's a lot of
have
like,
you seen
Ashley Simpson with the dark hair singing I Am a Poor Boy Too is like some of the best thing you'll ever see.
All right, I'm going to check that out.
I love a vintage of any era family Christmas special. And it's actually my dream to produce one next. Like the King family singers. Yeah. No, nothing makes me happier.
I remember you had that
idea. I was going to try to pitch that.
Well, and you have to do it too, because you have this amazing holiday album that I want everyone to check out. And it's both funny and great music and it's just everything. So I hope people check that out.
It's called Sugar and Booze.
Do you have plans to do more Christmas
touring
music?
I'm touring with it this year. Yes, for sure. I mean, part of the reason you write a Christmas record is because it's slightly perennial, but also because of the virus, we ended up pushing all of our 2020 dates till this year. So I'm doing a little tour, just a 2-week tour with it. And it's so much fun because we wrote a very, you know, traditional, like kind of old-fashioned, nostalgic, swinging vibe, and I really wanted it to be able to like seamlessly fill in with your Ella record and your Frank record when you were like whatever decorating the tree, and we wrote some really fun originals that I feel kind of old-fashioned. So I mean, the goal wasn't necessarily to be funny, as it was to be fun and to have a great time and play a record. We have amazing arrangements. My producer Julian Fleischer is really, really talented arranger. So we had a really good time.
It's fantastic. Now, were there any tropes that you guys weren't able to fit into the Clusterfunk Christmas? Like, was there anything that you were like, oh man, we're trying to find a place for it?
I really wanted everyone to get trapped inside a snow globe until they found the magic of Christmas. But it was like one step too many. I wanted there to be like a supernatural like weather event that created an outdoor experience that was like a snow globe, but I was shut down.
And we also at one point had a big musical number.
Right.
But that that couldn't happen due to budget and time.
Due to finances.
So then we thought of having, and we don't want to spoil this, but we'll just say we thought of, instead of that, doing a Christmas angel. And so we like how that
works. We figured a supernatural intervention of some kind, a Christmas apparition, which often happens in the movies.
And that's a fun
little cameo for a little special diva in our lives.
I love that moment. It's so good. People are going to love this movie. Do you guys still have the SNL ladies group text? I know this is sort of like a lore for people like myself. Like, what's going on with this group text?
People in your community?
Yeah, we're very aware of it and love it.
We certainly do.
We still chat.
Every day.
Yes.
So where do we draw the line with the group text? Like, did it go up to a certain year on SNL, or do we add the women in there as they're still on it?
You know what? It was sort of just like we were naturally texting. You know, a lot of it started, in my memory anyway, like we all had little kids.
Yeah.
So we were like, what do I do when this happens? Like, it started out for me, like a lot of like kid talk.
Practical comedy mother
or
advice.
Like, and then it kind of blossomed out from there.
But like Paula doesn't have kids. She has animals, but you know,
That's true, but I think that's how I first started, like, a few group people.
And yeah. And then it coalesced around Rachel's 50th birthday. So there was, like, a chat group and a bunch of girlfriends that, you know, eventually were like, we need an excuse to really have a getaway. Because there is this kind of deeply tribal conversation that you can really only share with your SNL sisters. And so we ended up going away for Rachel's birthday, and that kind of cemented the lifelong love.
You know, I feel like there might be some world or something where we could get screenshots of this text thread, maybe auction them off for charity or something. Is there a way that we could do something like that?
It's funny because I did think some of this would make a great, like, coffee table book. I don't know. Maybe coffee table is the wrong word for it. But yeah, like a book.
What I mean is
it's not like a big pictorial. But I mean like a little, like, I don't know, read it while you're on the toilet.
A tournament book?
I would read it on the toilet in a second.
Give it to me now, please. Von Mott's and pithy sayings.
Anyway,
there has to be some space for it, because trust me, like, people like myself, we would love to just even like one screenshot. Maybe on social media we get something, like just one screen grab or something. You know, something.
I don't know. Jeez. There is some funny stuff.
There's a lot of state secrets, though, too.
I would like that, too. Okay, tell me your favorite performances of the other person. Like, Rachel, do you have a favorite thing that Anna's done, whether it be on SNL, a sketch, or anything? What's your favorite thing of hers, and then vice versa?
Anna has, like, obviously, like, a very large body of work, but the thing that first strikes me when asked that is, like, the stuff I saw her do before I was even on the show, when I was just, like, watching her on my TV and thinking, like, oh, my God, that woman's so funny. And that makes me think of NPR and the Martha Stewart and the Bobby and Marty sketches where she would sing. She was the middle school teachers with Will Ferrell, and they would do those medleys. Like, those are my, like, because those were like my first, like, imprinting as I was the baby bird seeing the mama bird who's a year younger than me. But anyway, like, that's what really, like, sticks with me, even though she's done, like, so many.
To jump on that, I still say from the Bobby and
Mohan Cole, yep.
I still say I felt that one in my filling. It was like from one of those sketches, like the mic goes hot. And I think it was Will who says, oh, I felt that one in my filling. And it's
so funny. I always think of so funny, there's funny little ones that get stuck in your head, because when all that feedback at the beginning, and for some reason in a regular way, and I don't even remember when we did this. I think it was maybe on the 40th or when Will went back one time or something. I just remember saying, like, I hear some sonic fuzz on the Wi-Fi, which makes me laugh. Same thing. It's just like some random line that Paula wrote, probably. But same thing with Rachel. I have to say, like, again, huge body of work, huge respect for the fact that she's done a ton of work on stage and in film, and some really great dramatical work. See Shameless last season.
So good.
But yes. Yeah, so good. But at the same time, I have to say that maybe this is just because we've just finished doing this thing where you have to be kind of a grown-up after you leave SNL, and you have to do a lot of, like, playing the straight woman mom and the, you know, whatever. Like, there's a lot of sort of just smiling and nodding that you do professionally. So it was so fun. Every time we get together, we are sort of set each other free on the wig and glasses comedy. And so I do, maybe just because our movie, we get to play these kind of parts. We've done them together when we worked on a show called Great News that Tina, it's Tracy Wigfield wrote, that Tina produced. And
so underrated, and too, that show was,
I know, it's really
phenomenal.
Funny.
Three seasons of perfection, and
I know,
you know,
really
a lot of people
well
who discovered it sort of late, but it's,
I know,
amazing.
It's a bummer, but yeah, it was super fun to do that. We played sort of a Kathy Lee and Hoda pair, so anytime we can kind of lean into the giant parts together, and as a result of that, just in the spirit of that, I would say that I love Rachel's sketch work. I mean, obviously, like everybody else in the entire world, I love Debbie Downer, I love Abe Scheinfeld, the Boston girl, I love the Dickensian character he used to play. Remember, he used to play that, like, little Dickensian, Pip. What was it?
I don't even know. It was a one-off.
Only a one-off?
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious. But yeah, so just all of the character work, the sketch and character works. Like, yeah.
I got to say, of course, everyone loves Debbie Downer, but that one with Lindsay Lohan in particular, to me, that's the thing I can go back to that I know 100% is going to change my mood when I see
100%.
It's like,
so nice.
It, the way that it can just shift a day around more than almost anything else in the entire universe. It's like, I know I'm feeling down. Take a couple minutes, find that video online. And it's
that is
just
a great,
oh, that's so, that's a great life hack.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But really seeing the two of you pop up in anything, it's like, I of course, I was raised with the two of you on SNL, and I just loved that generation of so many amazing women like Molly Shannon, Shara Terry, yeah. the two of you, Tina, Amy. And I just feel so lucky that that was sort of my introduction to comedy in so many ways, because you all were just the funniest people ever. The funniest people ever.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's next? What do you guys want to do next? Like, what's on the dream bucket list, career goal list?
I do want to write more Christmas stuff. I'm not just saying this movie, but I want to write a Christmas special. I want to write more Christmas music. I want to write a sequel or something else with Rachel. It was incredibly fun and fulfilling to do. What's on your bucket list?
Jeez, the I don't know. I got to get a bucket list going.
Travel.
I'm not sure. I need to have a thing to say so that it will the universe will provide.
To take up golf.
No, I don't know. I would love to write another thing with Anna, though.
Yeah, and I actually would like to write something for the two of us as well as I would love to write something we could populate, like the Wine Country cast with, would be amazing.
I mean, yes, please. Would you guys ever do, would you be interested in doing more like book writing stuff? Like, is that on the horizon at all? Because I would love to read like essay collections from you guys, more essay collections.
Rachel's
I'm like giving you guys work to do. No, I know Rachel has a great essay collection, but yeah.
So I did one and then I sat down to try to do another and it just wasn't really like, I took one afternoon and said, screw it. No, I tried, like back then, that's I enough. Had this whole like story and then I had like the surprise pregnancy. Like I had like a thing happening and like now, like, I don't know. I guess I need to.
She's looking for
I need another surprise pregnancy.
Right. Well, we just want
a real surprise.
We want your thoughts on things. Like we love hearing just your thoughts on things. Like
That's so awesome. Yeah. Like, yeah, I personally fluctuate between who cares and, you know, is there a point? And I would
how
want
dare
it,
you?
I have to say, like, if I were to write something, I would want for it to have some import or impact on people. I don't want to just write for its own sake. I love writing, but maybe, I don't know.
Well, we would take anything you guys want to write. We love it. I love you both so much. I wrap up all my interviews by asking the people these next two questions, and they're silly, but it's just your favorite Mariah Carey song, because I love Mariah. She's sort of the sign of the holiday season as well. And then also, if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
Ooh,
golly.
That's tough.
Oh, gosh.
Well, Mariah Carey song, I'm going to say, I'm not just saying this, but I love the song All I Want for Christmas Is You. So it drives some people crazy, I guess. But
it's one of the best Christmas songs ever written.
That's the one I know the most of Mariah Carey that I would.
I love this song on, I think, I don't know how many last album ago, Get the Fuck Out, Get the F Out. Do you know that song?
How about you? Get the Fuck Out.
It's so fantastic because it's so understated and it's really well written, but it's so exactly what you want to she punches at the right moment. She's a great songwriter, fantastic.
Yeah, amazing writer. Everyone knows her for her voice, but amazing. Also, I just got this ornament and it's supposed to be Mariah, but I don't know if you can see the
that's a major skin tone mismatch. P.S.
It's a bit of a mess. Anyway, I love you both. Everyone's going to check out Clusterfunk Christmas. People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive. I didn't forget.
Right now,
I don't know.
Sexy?
I know they say it's Paul Rudd right now.
He's sexy, yeah.
I mean, it depends on the year. Idris Elba is pretty high up there. I have to say, like, hard to deny. I'm going to go, this is going to be rad. This is also sort of like a weird old school call, but you know who just, for our generation, who doesn't friggin' age, is John Stamos. It's insane how attractive that man is for his age. So Idris and I are going to get together and be a throuple.
I love that. Rachel?
I'm just going to punt and I don't know. I'll just join in their throuple and
cluster.
Who was your
Christmas.
Call? Who do you say?
I like a Chris Hemsworth, Idris Elba, of course. Michael B. Jordan, I think, was maybe a couple years ago or something. But to me, he's just like, oh my God. Yeah, those are the ones that immediately come to mind. I think Paul Rudd is sexy too. Channing Tatum, I love Channing Tatum. Like, to me, he's got the sex appeal. When I watch Magic Mike, I'm like, the way he moved in that movie, it was just revolutionary to me.
And he's kind of funny. You have to be a little bit funny.
Yeah, he's like goofy. And do you remember the Sony hack, like the emails leaked? I always think about his emails. I saw some website where his emails were there and they just seemed so nice and fun. Like it was like all exclamation points and he's like, yeah, we're killing it. And like those were, I was like, he seems like just a lovely, nice man.
Like upbeat. I love it.
Yeah.
Like that's not nice... going to happen in our Sony hack.
Yeah. What if? Evil emails. I love you both. I'm going to let you go. Clusterfun Christmas, December 2nd, Comedy Central. I can't wait to see the sequel. I need it right now. So go get right into it. I'm sorry to put that on you. And everyone watch Spring Breakdown.
Oh, thank you. Throw that in there too. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.